All right, good vach, Shavua Tov. Welcome back to the Boker Ton Synagogue. Dr. Yitzhak Bazan Beis Medrash, Men's Afternoon Kollel, generously sponsored by the Frelich Financial Group. We have been studying the continuation of the topic of Kriyas HaTorah, which somehow became our theme for this year. And we have been studying the extension of this topic, the question of standing during the Aseres HaDibros. We analyzed standing for Kriyas HaTorah in general. The Ramah quotes it as a stringency of the Maharam Rutenberg, which we saw the Bach explain is a recreation of Matan Torah. We go back to our Sinai and we re-experience the receiving of the Torah anew. And though it's a chumrah for the Ramah, the question is, what's the proper practice when it comes to standing for the Aseres HaDibros, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments? Last time we saw the Tshuvas HaRambam, where the Rambam was asked this question about a community that the previous rabbi had said to stand, the new rabbi said to sit. Who is correct? And the Rambam says that the new rabbi is correct. The proper thing is to sit, don't stand. And even if that means changing a minog, there is no binding minog if the minog was incorrect to begin with. I mentioned to you last time that this tshuva of a Rambam, Rav Avadya references, was found in a manuscript. That means that some of the earlier commentaries and Achronim didn't have this tshuva of the Rambam. And if they did, they might have come to another conclusion, Rav Avadya writes. So I told you there's a little detour. What happens? What happens when we discover a manuscript that those before us were not aware of, and therefore they didn't consult? So this is actually an article in an old tradition. If you look on the screen, I've pulled it up. Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda, who was a member at the Boker Haton Synagogue, lived here in Boker Haton, taught in our community, was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. He, in a tradition, summer of 1980, wrote an article called Chazon Ish on Textual Criticism and Halacha. He quotes from the Chazon Ish's writings, but more, he quotes from conversations he had with the Chazon Ish, in which he says that the Chazon Ish told him that the discoveries we make later don't enter the canon of halacha, they don't enter the halachic process, and they're therefore not considered within halacha. And he remembers that there was a conversation, this conversation with the Chazon Ish took place around the conversation he had had with the eminent Talmudic scholar, Dr. Binyamin Menashe Lewin, who died in 1944, the author of the monumental Otzer HaGaonim, who had complained to Rabbi Yehuda that the traditional Talmidei Chacham in the yeshiva world was not paying attention to this new work, this breakthrough revolutionary work called Otzer HaGaonim. So he was speechless, and he spoke to the Chazon Ish, asking the Chazon Ish why the Chazon Ish hasn't embraced it in his Talmidim. So the Chazon Ish explained his position, and he added a verdict on Otzer HaGaonim. He said, the old material we have, the new we don't need. And he explained, the sources already printed are found in the works of the Rishonim organically within the context in which they are quoted, and the way they are discussed and treated. The sources now printed for the first time in the Geniza manuscripts, whatever their importance may be for academic study, are irrelevant for halacha consideration. So Rabbi Yehuda quotes the Chazon Ish as having an opinion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, as if Hashem himself paskined which early manuscripts made it into the development of halacha and the conclusion of halacha, based on when they were revealed, when we discovered them. And if halacha became fixed, if the halachic conclusions were drawn and those manuscripts were not available and only became available later, then they may be influential for academic study, but they're insignificant and irrelevant when it comes to halachic consideration. In conclusion, says Rabbi Yehuda, the scholarly critical research in Talmudic texts has its own value for enriching our insights into history, psychology, sociology, the rabbinic phenomena, leading as it does to a better understanding and interpretation of the literary material. Important all this is, it is inconsequential for the current stage of halacha. History cannot be tampered with. We are unable to reconstruct the historic way rabbinic tradition actually progressed as a living experience. And in the rest of this article, he discusses this position that he says from the Chazon Ish, that he heard himself, and he relays a few of those conversations with the Chazon Ish, and an example the Chazon Ish gave. Here's a stunning example, he writes, I heard from the Chazon Ish. Assuming an old Sefer Torah from a very remote past will be found, let us say of Rashi, Rabbi Akiva, or any other great authority of antiquity, or for the sake of argument, even of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. I knew Rabbi Yehuda, he was in our community, a very special person. I can hear him speaking when you read his words. Assuming, right, when he writes, let us say of Rashi or Rabbi Akiva, those who knew Rabbi Yehuda can hear him speaking even in this written form. And that we will detect textual variants distinguishing it from the current Masoretic text, such as in the spelling of Malay and Chasir, or Kriyuksiv, form of letters, division of Parshios, all of which is not only possible, but even expected because of both the fallibility and the dignity of the moral scribes, which are neither angels nor robots. What are we going to do? That was the question of the Chazon Ish. So we discover in the Qumran caves, we discover in some other place, an ancient Sefer Torah of Rashi, earlier of Rabbi Akiva. And all of a sudden, this Torah, which has that authority, and we can somehow date or we can associate to that time and to those people, is incompatible or inconsistent with what we have now. Will we change what we have now based on that discovery? So the Chazon Ish says, halacha dictates that we do not correct our Sfarim according to the old Sefer, but vice versa. The old Sefer, even if it were written by the greatest authority, must be considered pasul as long as it does not conform to ours. In order for it to become kosher, it must be amended and adjusted to comply with the text of the contemporary Sfarim according to the regulations of the most recent halacha. It seems strange. We view the past in light of the present and not the present in light of the past. Why? And then he goes on to offer the Chazon Ish's explanation of why that would be. And as we sort of said, it's as if the divine is paskind of what we became aware of and when, and Hashem has established and fixed how halacha develops and the conclusions we reach. And that is what he represents as the Chazon Ish's view. And that's how he concludes it. It is the will of God that is followed by all of us who adhere to halacha. We're faithful not to dead scrolls, but to the will of the living God. We engage not in bibliolatry, but in kiyum mitzvos. This is why halacha is constantly alive and never petrified. This is the secret of its vitality. Ultimately, we rely not on text, tangible and fixed objects, but on words, spiritual and living ideas. Even when scrolls are destroyed and burned, gvilim nisrafim, the lofty and vital words remain forever hovering and blooming, osios porchos ba'avir. That is the conclusion, the article of Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda. Again, it is in Tradition 18, summer of 1980. In the next issue, there was a response by Professor Schneer Lyman, Rabbi Dr. Professor Schneer Lyman, who wrote a Chazon Ish on textual criticism of halacha, a rejoinder. And first he says all the niceties, as is appropriate to do in academic circles, about Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda and his essay and the questions that it raises. However, he writes, had Yehuda rested content with posing the above questions with a presentation of Chazon Ish's resolution of these questions, Tradition's readership would have been indebted to him, and the matter could have rested there. Yehuda's presentation, however, is much more elaborate and complex. Not more than 7 lines of the 9-page article are presented as verbatim quotations, Chazon Ish. Much of the essay is an alleged summary of what Chazon Ish said. More of the article reflects perorations by Yehuda in response to issues raised or comments by the Chazon Ish. In all fairness to Yehuda, occasional attempts were made by him to distinguish Chazon Ish's view from his own. Nonetheless, for much of the article, one doesn't know when Chazon Ish ends and where Yehuda begins, and therefore he challenges that this, in fact, was the Chazon Ish's view, and he finds it difficult to accept this notion about the Sefer Torah from antiquity, that we would render it puzzle and make it conform to ours, rather than the opposite. He writes, let us suppose for heuristic purposes that a demented Jewish scribe decided to write thousands of Torah scrolls, establishing new readings and a new majority. Would the new majority supplant the old one? Lead us to say it would not. Rov in halacha governs over suffix. Where certainty reigns, majority rule plays no role. Indeed, tradition has it, Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz, once asked by a Gentile sage, Torah dictates you have to follow the majority. If so, all Jews convert to Christianity. Christianity outnumbers the Jews. My kids once asked me that question too. Rabbi Eibschitz replied that majority rule prevails only in doubtful matters. But Jews are quite certain about the truthfulness of their religious beliefs. So when we have a suffix, a case of doubt, then we turn to Rove to resolve the suffix. We did this recently in the Daf. If you have a case of suffix of doubt, you rely on Rov or Basra, the last known when the chametz, what was kept in the pantry, the matzah, the chametz, those who are doing the Daf Yomi. So when you have doubt, that's when you rely on Rov. But if you're never in doubt, Rov does nothing for you. Specifically, Rashba and Radbaz and the Radvaz ruled long ago that where the Talmud established the correct reading of the Torah text and derived the halacha from it, one corrects the majority of Torah scrolls on the basis of the few, even if the majority of Torah scrolls have dictated otherwise for centuries. In a conflict between established truth and the majority, truth prevails. Thus, to use the hypothetical case presented by Yehuda, the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu would be most consequential for halacha. It is precisely because no such scroll is extant that the rule of majority looms so large in the laws pertaining to the preparation of Torah scrolls. Yehuda stresses that antiquity of the scroll and authority of the scribe play no role in the halachic process. He has overlooked the many Rishonim who indicate otherwise. The Rambam relied on the Aleppo Codex, prepared by Aaron ben Asher, as the single authoritative text for deciding various matters, Masoretic, and so on and so forth. What about the Chazon Ish? He writes the Chazon Ish in a letter acknowledging at once the usefulness as well as the limitations of the Munich manuscript of the Babylonian Talmud, argues that one ought not amend the printed text of the Talmud on the basis of a reading found only in the Munich manuscript, for A, the majority principle eliminates minority readings, and B, it may be that the Munich manuscript was not considered trustworthy in antiquity. Clearly for the Chazon Ish, the trustworthiness of a given manuscript plays a significant role in determining its usefulness. So Schneer Lyman, Professor Lyman, takes issue with the way Rav Yehuda at least represents or extrapolates from the Chazon Ish. It is a fascinating debate. I refer you to the Tradition Journal. If you'd like, I can download, but I have downloaded both of these articles, and I'm happy to share them with Rabbi Shabtai, who can disseminate them to the Chavri HaKolel, and you could read more about this in these two articles. If the topic interests you, it's a fascinating topic. If we were to discover, and we do, think about the in the Qumran caves, and the discovery of these scrolls, what they represented, and then comparing to the text, the scrolls that we have, which is authoritative, what do we change, what role does it have in halacha? He represents here also, I'll just tell you one other point he has here, Professor Lyman. He says, you know, much of what we have, the writings of Rav Menachem Meiri. The Meiri lived in the 13th and the 14th century. And the Meiri, whose writings and teachings for the most part were unknown for centuries, only to be rediscovered and published in the 19th and 20th centuries, would they not be authoritative for halacha? According to that understanding of the Chazon Ish, because we only came across these manuscripts of the Meiri, who, again, lived in the 13th, 14th century, and we only found it 500 years later, does that mean the Meiri has no role in halacha? One interesting sample of the Chazon Ish's attitude will suffice for our purpose. The pivotal Talmudic passage permitting the use of a contraceptive device when halachically warranted was and continues to be the focus of much rabbinic discussion. A strict constructionist approach bans most forms of contraception for most women. Permissive approach allows for more latitude. Several 19th century authorities, including Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Chassam Sofer, unaware of a permissive ruling of Rav Shlomo Luria, the Marshal, in a volume first published in Altona in 1739 and not widely distributed, sided with the strict constructionists. They explicitly ruled out precoital contraception in cases of danger to the mother, stating they were unaware of any authority who permitted it. After Luria's position became more widely known, numerous 19th and 20th century halachas reversed the non-permissive ruling on the grounds that the earlier authorities would themselves have ruled otherwise had they been aware of Luria's ruling. The Chazon Ish among them! Chazon Ish cites the Marshal's ruling approvingly, but qualifies it somewhat la halacha in light of the many authorities whose stance was more stringent than Luria's. In his published letters, Chazon Ish responded as follows to a questioner who sent the photographs of a newly discovered manuscript, and so on and so forth. Again, I refer you, it's a long article, to the rest of this article. You could see it inside, and this back and forth between Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda, Zichrono Livracha, and Professor Lyman, Yibadol Chaim Tovim Va'aruchim, about the Chazon Ish's position, and more significantly, what should be our position when we discover a manuscript that was not known earlier, and whether that should have an impact in halacha. Okay. Oh, Jonathan Charm has posted the article in the chat if anyone would like to look at it. Yes, and Chaim Fuhrer points out that the newer Rambams we have, the Frankel edition of the Rambam, relied on old manuscripts, and he received the Chazon Ish's Haskama when he did so. This is a very, very important. I once gave a whole shiur based on an article from an old family friend, Eugene Korn, about how the Rambam would understand how we treat heretics. And there's a fundamental difference between the old text and the newer text that we have. The Frankel edition of the Rambam has the newer text. Older Rambams had been censored for fear, but we still have a tradition and we still have access to the older manuscripts of what they really should have said without the censorship. And that change in the Rambam, in Hilchos Malachim, I think it is, has a very, very consequential difference, and therefore it's very important. So the Frankel Rambam is another example of using old manuscripts to update our understanding of the Rambam with consequences, nafkaminas lahalacha. Now, back to our topic. Where did this question come from? Should you stand for the Aseres HaDibros or not? We mentioned last week it comes from this Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Beis. Gemara in Brachos there says that we used to recite the Aseres HaDibros with Shema V'Hayim Shemo and Vayomer. And why did we omit it? Why did we stop saying it? Bipnei ha tarumas aminim. We were worried, the arguments of the heretics. They would say, these 10 commandments are all that matter. The other 603 are debatable, are negotiable. You're not binding. And how do you know that? Because we only recite the 10 commandments. You don't recite the other 603. It must be these 10 are the only ones that matter. In order to avoid that conclusion, we therefore no longer recite the Aseres HaDibros. And Rav Avad, the Rambam, based on that, and Rav Avadya and others say, if it's true that we don't recite the Ten Commandments daily for fear someone will mischaracterize, misjudge, and assume incorrectly that the Aseres HaDibros are more significant or authoritative than the rest of mitzvos, then that's a reason not to stand for them alone either. If you normally sit for the rest of Kriyas HaTorah and you're only going to stand for them, people will draw the wrong conclusion. And that's what Rav Avadya paskins in source number 5, we saw all this last week, that just like this Rambam in the manuscript, that one should sit for Aseres HaDibros and not stand for them. Then we saw Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe had the beautiful tshuva, and my father pointed out how it was written to Rav David Feinstein, who just passed away, and the beautiful conclusion, Avicha o Avecha, Balev Nefesh, your father who loves you with heart and soul, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Such a beautiful conclusion. So that brings us up to the Tzitz Eliezer, which we had started last week. Tzitz Eliezer, source number 7. Tzitz Eliezer of Eliezer Waldenberg, the great posek of Shari Tzedek Hospital, a great posek in Yerushalayim, many, many volumes of Tzitz Eliezer. And he says, in Morocco, the minhag was to stand for Aseres HaDibros. Is that the correct custom? And then it spread and proliferated in the Ashkenazi communities. This has promulgated a spread throughout the diaspora. It's almost a universal practice that all of a sudden comes Parshas Yisro and Ve'aschanan, Shavuos, three times a year when the Aseres HaDibros are read, and almost universally the custom is to stand. This is not one of those silly customs. This is not a custom that you've seen in marginalized segments of the community. This is a custom which is steeped and based in the practice of generations of great, great people, great, great leaders, great, great, great communities. Asher Danu Olav, who examined the topic. And they analyzed it, and they looked into it, and they concluded there was nothing to worry about in terms of this question of Tarum Misaminim. You didn't have to worry that there was any, it didn't smack of heretical views that you'd come to erroneously conclude the Aseres HaDibros are more important if you only stand for them. We saw Rav Moshe gave a reason. Rav David Feinstein gave a reason. Because we stand for other parts of Torah reading too. We stand on Parshas Peshalach. We stand for the Shira. So you see, if you're standing for the Shira, that which you stand for Aseres HaDibros, it's not because they're better or more important, the only authoritative part of Torah. It's because we're honoring the experience of Kabbalah HaTorah. And therefore, Rav Moshe wasn't worried, Rav David Feinstein wasn't worried, and neither is the Tzitz Eliezer. Sha'adraba, yesh b'mishem chilak kavod l'maymen ha'iskav shalashmas ha'yudibros. We're honoring the experience. We're honoring the monumental event, the greatest revelation of history. K'mavur b'sharas v'tshuvas d'var Shmuel, b'sefer tofayin l'achida, b'sefer shalmei tzibur, l'arimari agazi, v'chelik shalmei chagiga, v'gam b'kaf ha'chayim, and so on and so forth. U'b'sefer kol aliyahu. And even where we see that there's a tshuva, even where we see the response equivocate, whether you should stand for the Aseres HaDibros or not, they're not equivocating in an ordinary situation. What if you find yourself in a community that sits? Should you stand then? But he doesn't say that in a community where they don't sit, you shouldn't stand because people are going to say, it's not that these mitzvahs are more authoritative, but it's that the narrative and the historical event is itself so moving, it's unparalleled, unprecedented revelation, and that is what we honor, and that is what we re-experience. It's what we recreate. It's what we reenact by standing for the reading of the Aseres HaDibros as if when they were first given. V'ad achron anibol sefer tshuvas igros Moshe. And last but not least, let me quote the great Reb Moshe Feinstein. Shehela gamkein b'pshita she'in makom achshash zeh mishun termas aminim. V'lo'od ala shehevi b'makom shenogu lamad yesh bo gamkein lamad imayim. If you're in a place where they stand, you should stand together with them. Hisbananti gam b'shekvar don b'zeh b'archava v'tovtam liyashu Avdi. We've also seen it examined elsewhere. Good. That's all Aleph. So number one, this is not some outlandish minhag that's happening on the edges of Jewish communal life and marginalized society. This is some established universal practice that is done and performed by holy and sacred Jewish communities led by their gedolim who considered the issues and drew the conclusion that one should continue the custom to stand. And he quotes among them many, many tshuvas, among them Reb Moshe. Osiv rak zos va'omer. I'd like to add, says Reb Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenberg, dafilam nomar ki b'divrei haram bam b'tshuvasu ikar b'zeh v'lo kafi sheyesh makom l'mash Moshe chibru and in Hayad lo sfir lekein. You're right, we didn't have the Rambam earlier. And you're right, we only have the Rambam now. But guess what? in between, no one else quoted this concern of the Rambam. So it's not that others had the concern of the Rambam, and if we had had the Rambam, he would have been the final word. No one else had this concern of the Rambam. So it's not that the Rambam would have tipped the scale. There was no scale, because nobody else had this concern about Terumas Aminim. Nobody was worried that people would mistakenly conclude that the Aseres HaDibros is more authoritative. Lu afilu lo haya kvar bezeh mina kavua. Vaisa she'ilim levatel beglam ha'shenutzim beramin lo kein. Mikom ha'kendir lomar dizeh shemasinu shenivsak. He's now weighing in on the question that we saw in the tradition articles. What if it's discovered later in the earlier tshuvas and they knew and they didn't know? He rejects all of it. And they dachu asanimu kazeh. He says, don't get caught up with what if they had the Rambam. Even if they had the Rambam, they wouldn't have accepted his argument. Because they knew the argument that the Rambam asserts. They already contended with the argument, and even if they didn't know it came from the Rambam. And they already were able to overcome the argument of the Rambam, even if they didn't know it came from the Rambam. So the fact that it later is discovered it comes from the Rambam, doesn't change anything. And now comes a point which I think is very important. The following two points. Dalad. And I'm not going to hold back from telling you this also, says the Tzitz Eliezer. This tshuva of the Rambam was found in the Geniza. I don't know if it was the Cairo Geniza. I don't know where it was found exactly. For hundreds of years, it was hidden. It was buried. He says it's my level of morid. He's kind of taken the position that is represented as the Chazon Ish's, that we didn't have it. The fact that we have it now doesn't change anything. And this certainly supports Tzvi Yehuda's article that the Chazon Ish would say that a discovered manuscript does not contribute to the contemporary halachic conversation. It does not add to it. If it was hidden and we didn't have access to it, and the psak and the minug was established without it, then it continues and trumps the discovery of the manuscript. And he quotes where the Chazon Ish writes that in Seder Moed, which Professor Lyman concedes that the Chazon Ish writes that there. The question is how far the Chazon Ish goes with it. Okay, but we covered that. So let's move to the last point. Tzitz Eliezer makes one more point. Says it's Tzitz Eliezer in Oshei. Mikol hal nira bor la halacha shein l'shamas minag b'nei Yisrael. And therefore it's clear from everything I've shown you that we didn't have the Rambam, and even if we have it, it wouldn't have changed anything. And the argument of the Rambam we've already overcome by telling you that it's not a problem. And this has been the practice of Klal Yisrael, of Gedola Yisrael, of beautiful Kilos Kedoshos. It says, Rav Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg, he says, let me personally testify that for tens of years I have davened in shuls and yeshivas and in Torah establishments in the holy city of Yerushalayim, in Gaonim Tzadikim Kedoshei Elyon Zchusim Yagen Aleinu, with the holiest Gaonim and Tzadikim, the most righteous, the most brilliant Torah scholars. V'kulam imshichu b'reses lahazik u'lahazik menag zeh lamad b'shas kriyas aseres adibros u'v'ashkocha sheyechid u'lifreshu mizeh. I davened in shuls and batei medrash. I davened together with Gaonim, Tzadikim, Balei Masora, says the Tzitz Eliezer. And frankly, he says, with respect to Rav Avadya and with respect to the Rambam, the Sfaradim too, mostly, would stand for Kriyas HaTorah. Lachain les din tzarech boshesh, de mekom ha'shenogu lam b'shas Kriyas HaSeres HaDibros, ein l'shanas lam min hagam, o min minag avoseim shebiyadam. Therefore, do not change the practice. V'gam yechida mimokom acher mispalam etzlam, einam rishayim l'nog acheres. And even outsiders who are coming are not entitled to do differently. Kasher hela achida, sefer tov ayin, v'chem sefer igros Moshe. And here's the point. His final line, I think, is the final word. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, what would you be saying about your father and your Zayda and your great Zayda? What would you be saying about Rav Moshe Feinstein and about the Tzitz Eliezer? What would you be saying about the centuries of Torah leaders who stood for Aseres HaDibros if you discovered a manuscript of the Rambam and you decided now you're holier than they? holier than thou, holier than everyone. You discovered that they all stood for Aseres HaDibros? Ooh, but you're more machmir. The chumrah of the week is to sit for the Aseres HaDibros because you discovered a Rambam. What would you be saying? You'd be mezalzel. You'd be degrading. You'd be demeaning. You'd be disrespecting those who came before. So to me, this is a very, very powerful variable within the halachic process that Tzitz Eliezer is considering within the halachic process, within the halachic consideration, not only the different sources and not only different arguments, but he's discussing the precedent. It's not a precedent among Amei Ha'aretz, it's a precedent among Tzadikim and Gaonim. And we have to be very, very careful and very judicious and very sensitive before we change the practices of those who come before us, because what statement are we making about them if we're willing to change them? So he says, I personally testify that I grew up attending shuls and batei medrash, that I davened in places in which we stood for Aseres HaDibros, and therefore, aside from all the other arguments and all the other reasons why we should continue to stand, that enough is a reason to continue to stand. Rav Avadya does not agree with him. Source number 8. And Rav Avadya is asked, we already saw Rav Avadya's opinion about whether you should stand or sit, where Rav Avadya's conclusion was that you should sit. But now he was asked, Misha Mispal, Beis Knesset Shnogim Bosh HaKal, Omid Aragel B'Shah Shah Shlech Tibur Kor B'Seif Torah, Seres HaDibros. What if a Sephardi is davening in the Ashkenazi Minyan at BRS, on Shavuos, or Yisro, or Veschanan? Hoim Yamud Gam Hua Aragel K'deshid Nira K'mezal Zachash Shalom K'dush Seres HaDibros? What do you do? A Sephardi is davening in an Ashkenazi shul, and in the Ashkenazi shul, everyone's standing for the Aseres HaDibros. Should the Sephardi do what Rav Avadya considers to be correct, what the Rambam considers to be correct, and sit? Or should the Sephardi honor the community in which he finds himself and not be porish min hatzibur, not separate himself, not possibly violate los hiskodidu, as we discussed in general with standing in a community that sits? And should the Sephardi stand or sit? So Rav Avadya answers the following. He quotes the Chidah just like the Tzitz Eliezer, and it's true the great Chidah said to stand. He defended the practice of standing. And there the Chidah concludes, we're at the underlying part, the Chidah concludes that if everybody else is standing and they're honoring not only the Torah but the experience of the receiving of the Torah, no one should sit. Because even though really there's no obligation to stand, once the custom is to stand, then this individual should stand as well, because otherwise they become an outlier. And to be an outlier is to be disrespectful. Don't sit among those who stand. And you know what's going to happen? You see this, by the way, like the tefillah for the Medina. Someone's sitting for the tefillah for the Medina, and everyone has all kinds of conclusions about what they hold about Zionism. Someone is sitting for the tefillah of the Mishabera for Cholim. This person, everyone in their family is healthy, he doesn't care about Cholim. If you sit when something is being said that others stand for, the conclusion is you're disrespecting what's being said. So therefore the Chidah says that if you're going to sit in a place where everyone else is standing, even if you're not obligated to stand, then the conclusion will be, the judgment others will have on you, is that you're not honoring the very thing that's being said that they're standing for. Adkan. That is the Chidah. Ulam says, Rav Avadya, Ha'emes nitna leha'amer, shenela me'ene kotcha shemar na chidah tshuvas harambam anal. What's the problem? Says Rav Avadya, the Chidah of Chaim Yosef David Azulai, he didn't have this tshuva of the Rambam that we discovered in a manuscript from the Geniza. He doesn't have a reference. He doesn't mention this tshuva of the Rambam. The Chidah had such respect for the Rambam, and the Chidah would surrender and submit to the opinion of the Rambam. And if the Chidah only had this tshuva of the Rambam, then undoubtedly, says Rav Avadya, the Chidah would not have concluded as he did, that when you're among those standing, you should stand, but he would have concluded like the Rambam, that you should sit under all the circumstances. Because elsewhere the Chida says this about the Beis Yosef. Elsewhere the Chida writes about Rav Yosef Karo, that if Rav Yosef Karo would have known that Rambam, he would have changed his conclusion. So if that's what the Chida writes about Rav Yosef Karo, then all the more so it applies to himself. Had he known the tshuva of the Rambam, he never would have concluded you should stand among those who stand. And therefore concludes Rav Avadya b'sikum. The conclusion is, the community or the individual are forbidden to stand during the Aseres HaDibros. The Yachad Animta Beis Kanesh Nogim B'Shachakal Omin Aragba B'Shach Kriyas Aseres HaDibros. The Ein Lo Yadol Shanas Bimun Hagem Yaktim Lama B'Tchilas Kriyas HaParsha Olacholapachas Yam B'Tchilas Kriyas HaOla Sefer Torah Shuz Malik Rabbi Parsha Aseres HaDibros Kedesh Yoshev Ben Omdim Mezalz B'Kedesh Aseres HaDibros. Rav Avadya offers a wonderful, wonderful suggestion. He says, what are you going to do? To stand because everyone's standing? How could you do that? The Rambam said, don't do that. The Rambam said, it's a violation of Emunah. You're suggesting the Aseres HaDibros are more important than the rest of Torah. You can't do that. But to sit, that doesn't look nice. Everybody else is standing for a Torah reading, and you're going to maintain, you're going to stay seated. So says Rav Avadya, you know what the best pshara, the best compromise is? Stand for the whole Kriyas HaTorah that day. Or stand from the Kriyas HaTorah from the beginning of the Aliyah. And if you do that, then you're not violating the Rambam where you're showing greater preference to the Aseres HaDibros because you stood from the beginning of the Aliyah or you stood for the whole Kriyas HaTorah. And you're also not sitting. So you're going to find the perfect compromise that can make everybody happy. Azoy Zakt Rav Avadya. That is the opinion of Rav Avadya Yosef. You see at the core of this question, right? We're learning about the topic of standing for Aseres HaDibros, but at the core is, what role does the Tshuva of the Rambam that was a later discovered manuscript have? For the Tzitz Eliezer, for the Chazon Ish, no role, little role. For Rav Avadya, it has a primary role. Had the Chida known the Tshuva of the Rambam, the Chida never would have said what he said. That's how big a role Rav Avadya sees a manuscript is having. So it's a fascinating debate. When we discover a manuscript, what role, what impact, what influence does it have in Halacha? Does it become binding? Do we consider it? Or do we dismiss it? We study it academically. But in terms of influencing and impacting the halacha, it plays no role. That is at the core of this machlokas, Rav Avadya, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Moshe, and others. Rav Moshe Sternbach, Shlita, Rav Moshe Sternbach, still a posek in Eretz Yisrael, the Eidah Haredis, formerly of South Africa, in Shuvas Van Hagos, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Mem Dalad, also considers this question. And he says the following. He says, "Nagu kol Yisrael lamar beis kriyas aseres dibros, uvesider beis yankif mevi aminag umasik shein liyachad l'shanas b'aminag." The universal custom is to stand for aseres dibros, and the sider beis yankif, which is Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he says, "Don't change." Vani tama lama l'lach lokal Rambam she'osa b'tshuvosav. What about the Rambam? He's now going to bring in the Rambam. Now we know this Rambam. We've now seen this Rambam the entire time, so we can skip to the left hand column. Divrei Rambam heim niflaim ve'in lazos mimenu. Psh, this Rambam are wondrous, and they're very compelling. He says, the truth is, while compelling as the Rambam is, today the Levush says we're not right about Tarumas Aminim. We don't have sects of Judaism. We don't have groups of Judaism who are saying that the Ten Commandments are more significant than the other mitzvos. We're not really living with a major influence of the Karaites or the Sadducees. We're living with other influences of assimilation, but we're not living with an influence of these other heretical sects. And therefore, this concern of the Rambam, and frankly the concern going back to the Gemara and Brachos, is no longer true today, says the Levush. But says Rav Moshe Sternbach, and this is an insight into his attitude in Halacha, we've seen it elsewhere, that Rav Moshe Sternbach, if he can creatively come up with a conclusion that will allow you to be Yotzei according to everybody, he'll introduce a new practice to try to be able to observe as many opinions as possible. Where did he get this from? Rav Moshe Sternbach? Where did he get this approach from? From the Mishnah Brura. And to read more about that, go to the famous article by Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, Rupture and Reconstruction, in an old tradition as well, where he traces where halacha used to be taught focused in the home, parent to child, and then it moved to text-based learning of halacha, and that moved to, in the Mishnah Berurah, quoting all these opinions and trying to come up with a practice that allows you to fulfill them all. before the Mishnah Berurah, what he thinks before the Mishnah Berurah, before text learning, when it was in the home, and there's a fancy word for that, then you didn't try to incorporate as many opinions. You just did what your father did, what your grandfather did, what your mother did, what your grandmother did, and that was it. When the Mishnah Berurah, when we moved to a text-based learning, and now we had access to so many more opinions, now we introduced and developed practices which would enable us to fulfill a broader array, biyotze, more opinions, and that is the Mishnah Berurah's approach to halacha, very different than the Aruch HaShulchan's. Again, you can read Professor Chaim Soloveitchik's article. Here, we just celebrated an anniversary of that article. There was a tradition volume that had articles, including one by yours truly, who's absolutely not qualified to have submitted one, but was asked, so did so anyway, on a, I think it was 25 years later, Reflections on Rupture and Reconstruction by Professor Chaim Soloveitchik. So Rav Moshe Sternbach has a very similar approach to the Mishnah Berurah in this way, the maximalist approach, which is to be yotzei as many opinions as possible. We saw this, where did we see it recently? In the afternoon kolel, when we learned about simanim, simani milsa. How should you eat the simanim at your Rosh Hashanah table? Remember, some said you're supposed to point to it. Others said, just when do you eat the Yehiratza? And others, when you eat it. So Rav Moshe Sternbach, we learned the Tshuva, and Tshuva Zvanagos, where he would do both. First he'd point to it and say the Yehiratza before Kiddush, and then Kiddush, and then eat it. Again, he would introduce new practices to biyotzei everything. So here Rav Sternbach says, I have a great Eitzah, Latzei Tzlechu Le'ama. I have a great suggestion to fulfill according to everybody. Kashem Shebekriya Shema Yoshev Asal Amod, Aval Yachal Amod Kodin Shemagi Lekriya Shema. The halach is with Shema. We paskin like Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai. You're allowed to say it in whatever position you want, standing or sitting. What you can't do is change posture or position in the middle of saying it. You could be standing, you could be sitting, but you can't switch in the middle. So you could stand before Kriya Shema and then say it while standing. Gam kan roi lamod k'tas kodem kriya seres adibros, v'lom mamash laseres adibros, sh'le yamuchach sh'omid rak laseres adibros, v'shar the kolei alma. So this is his gevaldika einfal. I'll tell you what, the same thing that Rav Avadya suggested as a compromise, stand from the beginning of the aliyah. Stand either for the whole Kriyas HaTorah or stand from the beginning of that Aliyah. If you stand from the beginning of the Aliyah, no one can throw the Rambam and the manuscript in your face and say, Taromas Aminim. Nobody's going to tell you, what are you doing? You're showing greater authority to the Aseres HaDibros over the rest of Mitzvos. What do you mean? I stood from the beginning of the Aliyah, not from Aseres HaDibros. And therefore he says this is the most appropriate thing to do. You can fulfill everybody's concerns. On the one hand, you should honor Matan Torah by standing for Aseres HaDibros. On the other hand, you should worry about Taromas Aminim, so not stand only for Aseres HaDibros. And therefore you yotzei for everybody. We shouldn't denigrate them, we shouldn't desecrate them. We have to honor the customs of the Jewish people. Ayin Mata Yehuda Shevi Beis Yankif Vayar Aron Haminag Lamod, because as we saw the Tzitz Eliezer and Reb Moshe enumerate, the custom universally among Ashkenazim and even Svardim is to stand. So therefore, because of the Yasha Minag Shaim is the Chashash Tamas Aminim, Shako Yodim Shaim Nitnim Bekol B'Firasim Gadol, Masha Matzina Shasla Kraseres Dibras Pseidat Fila, Tlayomra Aminim Ein Torah Elazeh, Hasa Makpeh Dibazeh, Rakam Tzvan Kriya Shalikra Davka. Reading the Aseres Dibras in the Siddur, like Shema, that was the concern. V'lo al Ofen HaKriya, Aval Kevin Sheish B'Zeh Gam Kula Kevin Dela Rambam, Yishlach Man Yashiv, Yilei Shev, you should sit. Nachon Lama Ba'ofen Shalikul Yama Ovid, Kedin Sha'omi K'tas Kodim Kamash Kosim. That is the opinion of Rav Moshe Sternbach, similar to the compromise suggestion of Rav Avadya, that the best thing is to not stand just for the Aseres HaDibros. That might be problematic. Stand a little bit before, and you're yotzei according to everybody and their concerns. In the Sefer Minag Yisrael, Chelik Beis, he writes, Menyan Linyan Kimap Osenyan, Naskor Adiyan Sovav Kviyas Aseres HaDibros B'tzir Shnei Luchos Abris Beis Ignes Mial Arna Kodesh. Talks about the fact that it appears on two tablets, and we've discussed this in another context, whether it's misrepresented. The Aseres HaDibros, we know, were cubes. They were not rounded on top. It's a misrepresentation because of, you could thank Italian Renaissance art for misrepresenting the Eitz Hadas and for misrepresenting our Holy Luchos. Christian artists, unfortunately, planted images even in our minds of what these things look like, but in many cases, they're inaccurate and distorted. The correct is that the Aseres HaDibros were cubes. We know that. We gave a whole other shiur another time. We can share it on that subject. So he writes here in this context, Akin hizir me'olam ha'admor shalol ha'amid ilo tavlos v'aseres ha'dibros b'chutz l'beis medrash b'beis ha'knesset gam l'malei arna kodesh, not to have them on top in that way because it's wrong. Because it's A, it's misrepresented in terms of the shape, but here the Munkach Rebbe is also talking about because of our reason. Munkach Rebbe, the Minchas Aluzer, says, here the Mishnah, the Gemara Brachos say, don't recite a Seser Dibros, Taromas Aminim. People will erroneously, heretically conclude these 10 commandments are more authoritative than the other 603. For that reason, we also don't stand for them. Zok the Munkach Rebbe. For that reason, also, don't put them on the Arun Kodesh. Don't put a picture of them on the Parochas. We don't highlight them. When you highlight them, you will promote people misunderstanding and misrepresenting that they are the only ones that are binding. However, at the conclusion, since there were many righteous, many great leaders, many great poskim who were intimately involved in the design and the building of shuls, Batei Medrash, Aronos Kodesh, and they allowed the luchos to be depicted on them, clearly this is not a chashash. It's not a chashash. In other words, here's the debate. Do you take the reason the Gemara and Brachos gave that we should not promote these 10 commandments over the other 603, and do we now take that reason and apply it in other areas? Or like Rav Moshe said, no. All we have is the original way that it was applied. It's not for us to expand upon it and apply it in other places. That's at the core of what this machlokus is. That's what the core of what this machlokus is. Vasiba shayusom maseres dibros al aron kodesh. Why they put it there? Oberikim al parochas because of a medrash b'midbar rabba. Smotze tarik osios yesh men anochi ad ashel re'echa keneged tarik mitzvos v'zayin yaseros keneged zayin yimei bereishis. So therefore, you'd look at the aseres dibros and the opposite. You wouldn't conclude that these 10 are more important than the other 603. You look at these 10 and you'd think of the other 603. That incorporated within these 10 is the Tariag Mitzvos, all 613. You'd see them and you'd think of all of Torah and Mitzvos, and that's why they were there, and that's why we have that practice. So all we have left is now to understand the opinion of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik had opinion depending on whether it was Yisro and Veschanan or whether it was Shavuos. Because we read Aseres HaDibros differently in those two different times. When am I supposed to finish? I see Rabbi Shaketz here. Am I supposed to be done already? 4 o'clock or 3:45? Anyone know?
Officially 4, but I think the minhag is for you to finish earlier.
Okay, so I'm going to wrap it up here. We'll start with Rabbi Soloveitchik next time. But I'll just give you the little foreshpice for Rabbi Soloveitchik, which is that we know the Aseres HaDibros have what are called Tam Tachton and Tam Elyon. Namely, in our Chumash, there are two ways you could read the Aseres HaDibros. You could read them broken up by Psukim, you could read them broken up by Dibur, you could read them broken up by Tzivui, by commandments. And that might determine which way it's read, and that might determine whether we stand for them. That we'll start with next time. Thank you so much for joining, and I will share those two articles that we reference from tradition for further study for those who are interested. Have a great day, everybody.